As I've said, it's kind of surprising how little is spoken of the Holy Spirit in the Gospels, even less in the Old Testament, but we're rapidly getting close to Acts where it's constant. We're not going to look at every little thing, but we want to look at a lot. But for now, we are still in the book of Luke, and we are in chapter 1. Luke 1, please. I had to laugh at least a couple of times, and unfortunately, that's my comments on this particular verse, because I got to laughing at it. Luke 1:15. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. I had to laugh. I thought, boy, talk about predestination. I mean, he's nailed before he even gets out of the womb. And then I thought about why in the arguments before the Supreme Court many years ago, why did they say killing babies was okay? What right was it? Do you remember? The right to privacy. They said it was the right to privacy, which, of course, is not in the Constitution, but that didn't matter. They said it was the right to privacy, and so women or some, how do you connect those two, are able to kill babies. People are able to kill babies. And I'm afraid I started laughing about this because I thought, right to privacy. This poor guy's hanging around in the womb, and in comes the Holy Spirit. And wham, you know, and he's leaping around up inside there because of joy in the Holy Spirit. He was predestined for something. John the Baptist was predestined for something very important here. Now, I want us to go on down in the same chapter. I just found those things funny. To verse 35, and boy, this is, the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. In looking at this, there's something that hit me, and I don't know, folks. Again, more weird stuff from me. I had always gone, okay, fully God, fully man. Genetics from the Holy Spirit, genetics from Mary. That's what you hear. People say it all the time. It doesn't say it. It does not say it. It simply says the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. And what is inside you is from the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? Is that God, for whatever reason, chose to not, okay, I'm going to come back and recreate. I'm going to come down and make a new man. Why? Because Jesus is who he created through. Are you following what I'm saying, folks? Are y'all out there at all? I mean, it's not that. What I'm saying is that our brain and what we've been told is that, okay, genetics was Mary gave some, Holy Spirit gave some, and here's a baby. I'm just wondering if that is actually true. One of the reasons that I wonder if it's actually true is because while I believe Jesus had a sarx like us, yet without sin, there's one issue, and it gets brought up from time to time. I always kind of try to slide by it real quick. There's some places in my teachings that where I go, okay, that may not be completely logical. Let's go and buy it real quick. But I've had at least one person one time say, excuse me a second. If Mary was a human, and she was, unless you're Catholic, or you're at IMI, Mary had iniquities. Now, the iniquities did not get passed on from Mary, but they would have come from her father, You understand, it's not to the sons that iniquities are passed down, it's to the children. And Mary would have had iniquities. So I've just wondered at this. That's all. I'm just thinking out loud. That, wait a second, was this child, while fully human, and I understand that, was this just part of a miraculous formation and not necessarily any genetic giving from Mary? Mary, in other words, was, I need a receptacle for this child. Are you guys, I mean, is this so heretical that y'all are about to kill me? I mean, you know, kill him. Finally, we have the excuse. We're all ready and mad, and we want a longer nap. Anyway, that's all on that. We see, again, now we're starting to see the power of the Holy Spirit. The power, look what it says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. Go down to verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is starting to get around now. Okay? The baby has been filled, and now the baby is jumping around, leaping, and then mom. And mom gets filled with the Holy Spirit. What is verse 42? What then does Elizabeth say? What does she do? Is there anything? What comes after that?
I don't know if it's a Bible.
She cried out and said, "Blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Is that what you said?
Yeah. Well, what does she say? Read it.
And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what the Lord had spoken to her by the Lord."
Do you see that? Now, the reason I bring it up, there's different reasons. And it's one I think we need to look at. And you really do. Because you are going to meet, if you have not already met, and remember, this talk is about the Holy Spirit, and there's all sorts of wrong stuff that is out there. We brought up that the apostolic faith will say, you must speak in tongues if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet, it is not until the day of Shavuot, Pentecost, that we see people speaking with other tongues. They, of course, will go, well, different dispensation. I, of course, go, same Holy Spirit. And we are seeing people get filled with the Holy Spirit. And what I find interesting is something that Paul says. Paul says, it's not so great when you speak in tongues. It's really just not that impressive. In fact, I speak in tongues more than you all. Well, Paul, he may have been bragging a bit there, but what he was doing was making sure people were in their place. And what did Paul say? A whole lot better that you do what? Come on, prophesy. Now, what is prophesying? It is not speaking about the future. It may be. It's simply speaking forth truth. Got it? Now, let's go back again. Mrs. Davis, do you still have that?
And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are
you." Now, just a second. The first thing, she's got babies jumping around. But there is an emotional response. Now, I bring that up because getting filled with the Holy Spirit can be an emotional. You will. I mean, you're going to feel it somewhere along the line. You're going to know something has changed in you. And it's not just going to be behaviors. Now, you don't go looking for the feeling. Who knows what he may give you? But in this case, that is obvious. She's shouting with a loud voice. Something is changing inside her. Go ahead, Mrs. Davis.
And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord."
This is pretty cool stuff.
Let women keep silent in the church. I mean, she is one of the first, if you want to call it, New Testament believers, filled with the Holy Spirit, following her son's lead in the womb. She did not speak in tongues. She prophesied. This is prophecy. She suddenly is, and if you listen to what she's saying, listen how she addresses Mary and the things that she is suddenly in the know, if you want to put it that way. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in the know. And the Holy Spirit suddenly begins to speak through her. The response of being filled with the Holy Spirit here is she prophesied. And all the other times that we see the filling in the Holy Spirit so far has either been joy or something, but none of it's been tongues. Old Testament prophecy. And Paul comes up and says, that's good. And he's not too concerned about speaking in tongues. In fact, he's really setting people straight about this. Folks, I'm not speaking against speaking in tongues. But I am saying it's been made way too big a deal by a whole lot of people. Way too big a deal. Let's go down to verse 67. And we see the Holy Spirit again continuing to get around. His father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. He's coming out. He's been dumb for a season, a number of months, right? This is the place where we are with that. And they are shocked that he's going to be named John, because they named people after ancestor. And no one was, and he said, no, his name is John, named by the Holy Spirit. But then Zacharias begins to prophesy, and one of the prettiest prophecies of Jesus, and speaking of his own son too, just boils this thing out. One of my favorite descriptions, titles for Jesus, "We visited by the sunrise on high." That's quite poetic. The Holy Spirit waxing poetic. This wasn't Zacharias rather. This was the Holy Spirit speaking through him. Again, he did not speak in tongues. He prophesied. And some again would say, well, Old Testament, a different dispensation. And again, I say the same Holy Spirit. So I'm not impressed with some of their reasoning. Anyway, questions on anything we've talked about? And again, we're just going through these things because I want you to note things about the Holy Spirit. What do we see very simply? We see, and this is not always so please don't think that this is what I'm advocating, but one of the things that I'm afraid those of us that are more staid, and well, I don't want any of that, are afraid of, is the fact that the Holy Spirit is going to give you an emotional response. You're going to feel something to be filled with. I can tell you at different times when I've really been filled, I mean, and I knew I was being filled. And I wasn't looking for it. But there's not a description for it. You really feel like something is filling you up from the inside out. There's been at least a few times I thought it was going to simply burst. That did not happen, for those of you wanting to know the end of the story. But did he die? Were you, anyway. But the Holy Spirit, oh my. Anyway, well, I won't wax too much on that, but there's a lot of things in here. Any comments or on anything we've talked about so far? We're moving a pretty good clip, but that's okay too. Questions, comments? Ms. Davis, do you have anything on this? Let's keep on moving then. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout. I like lists like this because this helps to describe somebody. First, he was righteous. Second, he was devout. Next, he was looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. He was upon him. Okay? Doesn't say that he was remaining with him or anything like that, but the Holy Spirit was certainly upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, this man is walking very closely with the Lord. He's righteous, devout, looking for the consolation, the consoling of Israel in its pain. Holy Spirit with him. Now, I want to bring up the Holy Spirit was intimate with Simeon. And I bring that up because it had been revealed to Simeon he would not taste death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. The Holy Spirit here is speaking in the telling Simeon of the future. Some people, when we have made the statement, well, we walk in the office of a prophet, my goodness, they freak out because their idea is I'm trying to add to the canon of Scripture somehow that the things that I say are going to be taken in that way. And that's just not so. That's not all that a prophet did. There were many prophets, but very, very few actually wrote down books for God. They have a lot of other functions other than it's time for me to write down a book and shove that into the Bible somewhere. But God does speak to us with the gifts that he gives. And the gifts that a prophet is most often used in is, of course, prophecy, the speaking forth of truth, word of wisdom. What's going on? God is speaking. Wait a second. This is something that you need to know to function. A word of knowledge, something that is known. Now, we'll talk about all these when we get to it and explain it to you a little bit better. But also discernment of spirits. You see, all of these things are things that are, I guess, often the miraculous. And a prophet can be used that way. But the point is not a frivolous, shallow walk with God. It is not, oh, okay, I went to church on Sunday. I went to a charismatic church on Sunday. And that's not it. Simeon was intimate with God. He was waiting on him. And we see that the Holy Spirit speaks to him on a personal level. Now, this again is where some of these people freak out because they do not understand, and boy, this could get us into a lot of stuff real quick. As well, in some ways, it should. God desires to speak to you. God desires to walk with you and communicate with you. And here we see a man being spoken to on a very, very personal level. It's okay. The Holy Spirit is a person. Therefore, he can be personal. He is not telling Simeon, and this day shall be the end of the world, and on this day the United States shall be formed and be Israel's friend one day, and this day, none of that's going on. He's talking to him on a personal level. And again, let me bring something up about God's Word and how the Holy Spirit will speak to you in his Word. The Holy Spirit will not lead you into something that is against his Word. He will not tell you to do something that is illegal. He won't. but he may speak to you through his word in an odd way. You may be reading scripture, and suddenly, as we laughingly talk about these verses, you know, a statement is suddenly leaping off the page. I told you all the story about the poor guy that was afraid, a new Christian, was afraid to read his Bible because he thought the words were going to leap off the page because he heard these other Christians talking. And I was reading this, and it just jumped off the page at me. And he literally thought that this was going to, and I thought, poor guy. You know, somebody finally explained to him, oh, okay. But it the Lord will use that. What's going on? Well, wait a second. He was talking to Micah, and I pick up my, and it's not Mike anymore, it's Michael. He's speaking to me from that. But you only get this when you meditate. Why? Because meditation is listening. Reading is reading. Reading is good, but it's reading. If you do not have meditation, I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of things you do not hear. You will not hear on the personal level that the Holy Spirit wants to speak these things to you. You won't. Now, in this case, he was a righteous, devout man looking for the consolation of Israel, Holy Spirit upon him. In other words, he was personally intimate with God. Okay? Before the new covenant. And God spoke to him on a personal level. I find it hideous, honestly, just hideous, that a dispensationalist will come up and look at a man like this in a dispensation in which he was not given the Holy Spirit at all times. Okay? He was not in Christ. He had not been given the grace that Jesus Christ brought and was realized to us. And this man can hear directly from the Holy Spirit, but we are in the church age now, and I might add the reason we're in the church age is because you, my friends, are supposed to be listening to the church. If you didn't get it, that's what the point is. I'm waxing bad now. That's the point. You are not supposed to go and listen for yourself. And boy, it's that way in a lot of churches. No. You are supposed to. We will tell you what you are to believe. We will tell the Bible, tell you what the Bible is actually saying. Mostly we'll tell you what it's not saying so that you won't get messed up in believing anything. And don't go off and listen to the Holy Spirit by yourself. Do not try this at home. This is only for the professional. Thus, come on. This is sick. God has paid for what? To be your friend. I call you friend. This is wrong. This is just wrong. And we are talking about, remember, with this man, we have a better covenant than he has. And yet, the Holy Spirit will speak to him and not speak to us along these lines. Sir, please, take your unbelief and go away from me. Somebody like that, folks. Again, this is falsehood beyond falsehood. This is robbing us. This is robbing us. Ms. Davis, looked like you were about to say something. Nope. All right. Let's go on. Any comments on any of this? Yes.
Question. Like it says, the Holy Spirit was upon him.
Yes.
Revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And then he came in the Spirit, which you see in Revelation, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. But then about like Zechariah and Elizabeth and John, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I guess just a clarification of being filled with him, like it says in Ephesians, you have to be continually filled because obviously he wasn't remaining upon Elizabeth and Zechariah because the Christ hadn't come yet.
Yeah, that's my personal belief, and I think I'm correcting it, but yes, the Holy Spirit, we'll make sure that we repeat this stuff, some of these things. When it says the Holy Spirit is upon him,
that's exactly what it is. It's upon, okay? And influencing, if you want to put it that way. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is exactly what that says. But we don't get around to a different phrase, and we'll talk about that in just a second. We don't get around to a different phrase until a little bit later on. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, we are continually to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But Paul doesn't tell us how. He just says, be filled with the Holy Spirit and keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, we will repeat this, but I personally believe, wait a second, we're not told how, but we're told to. That leaves me helpless, except in one way. Fill me. I ask that you fill me every day. And Mrs. Davis and I pray that, I know, every day. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. I know when we're getting ready to come down to a meeting, whether we stop and pray together or not all the time, but I promise you, we are both praying, fill me, fill us with your Holy Spirit for your name's sake. Everybody understand? And it's filled. You are filled. Okay? The other phrase that we see used in Scripture that we are coming to rapidly is baptized. And I believe, is that the very next thing we're coming to? Yeah, we're actually coming. I don't think that phrase is there, but this is what happens. The baptized is an immersion in, and I don't think it's upon. I think it is. I think it's. Remember, baptism is a sign of death to self into water. I die, and I'm resurrected. But the word baptism simply means total immersion in. And to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, which is a phrase that we are coming to here, we've already talked about, he will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I could be wrong about this, but in Scripture, and we're going to be looking at this, so we're kind of getting ahead in some ways, but when we go through the book of Acts and we get into Corinthians and things like that, you're going to be seeing this baptism in the Holy Spirit. I personally believe that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, from what I can tell in Scripture, is a one-time thing. It's sort of like when you receive God's grace and the repentance is granted to you, and you are, as we call it, saved. You've received Jesus Christ as the Savior of your soul, and you are now walking in a different path, and you're ready for water baptism. But that water baptism, I believe, can be followed, and as we are going to see in the book of Acts, sometimes it's the other way around, by the baptism in the Holy Spirit. What is baptism? Immersion in. And I think it comes as a one-time thing. It's I don't know how to describe it other than here comes this major introduction. You know, hi, I'm the Holy Spirit, and I'm not just shaking your hand anymore. Kawoom. And it is there because, and we're going to see when we look at these people in Acts, they would go, and they were suddenly filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, these charismatics, Pentecostals that believe that you must speak in tongues will say, how did they know that these people were filled with the Holy Spirit? How did they know that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit? Because they spoke with other tongues. That is not always there. There are times they do other things. We are seeing some of it right now. They could easily different dispensation. I think they're completely wrong. But there will be evidences of baptism in the Holy Spirit. There will be. You may or may not feel it, but I'm telling you what, you eventually, I think, will feel it. Baptism by water, let's think of it this way. Baptism by water is by your choice. I want to be baptized. Okay? Now, I believe baptism in the Holy Spirit is the same thing, too. I heard one evangelist say one time, I thought pretty well, it's this fellow saying, well, I don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And his statement was, don't worry about it. It ain't going to hurt you. I mean, the statement is loud. I don't believe it. And if you don't believe it, it ain't going to come after you. But I believe it. It's in the Bible. And I believe that God wants me to have it. I believe He wants all believers to have it and to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. There will be evidences of it, but it doesn't necessarily have to be, I do not believe, tongues. And I think it's a one-time thing. That's me. I think a lot of people believe that. And the filling and baptism are a different thing. Filling is continual. We see it in Scripture, and that's what it says. Therefore, it must be. Keep continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, one thing we've not talked about is that one of the ways that you must be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit is not quenching the Spirit. Anger, unforgiveness, all these different things will stop. Thoughts on wrong meditations, all these things will stop the flow of the Holy Spirit. Will. Okay? Anything, anybody else on that?
So then is, like, he came in the Holy Spirit, would that be the same as the Holy Spirit was upon him?
I believe so. It almost sounds like it. I'm sorry. Yeah, you were talking about that. I knew there was. In the Holy, okay, what do all these phrases mean? And it's difficult to go.
But in the Holy Spirit, once you start walking in the Holy Spirit, you kind of know. And everyone in here, probably at different times, has, pardon my expression, felt the Holy Spirit. There'll be different meetings. Perfect example would be this semester our morning meetings I think have been really good, but last semester we were getting set up for this semester. Last semester you could feel often. I mean, I know Mrs. Davis and I talked about it, and others spoke of it to us. You could feel the weight. I mean, you stepped in, it was, not a bad weight, yay weight, but ooh, boy, I mean, you knew it. There was something going on. I believe it was a crushing, a breaking, a lot of different things that the Holy Spirit was doing. But you can feel, as the psalmist says, that weight of glory, that weight of recognition. And you recognize that is what I believe is in the Holy Spirit. Some more charismatics go in the Holy Spirit is almost like you're in a trance. Why? Because John, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And so he wrote the book of Revelation. But in the Spirit can be all sorts of different things as the Holy Spirit desires. Now, I need to bring something else up too. Jesus talked about the Spirit doing as he wishes. We do not know if John said, okay, I need to be in the Spirit today. If this man was coming in the Spirit because he had said, okay, Spirit, you... I don't think so. I think that when you see that phrase, you almost get the feeling that it's the man is definitely not the person in charge of this. This is the Holy Spirit that's in charge of when the man was in the Spirit. Okay? And I can tell you, with me... Mrs. Davis may have something different, but he will catch you by surprise. You're going along, and all of a sudden, And of course, afterwards you're wondering, what did I do right? You know, how come that happened? Whoa, and let's do that again. Can we, you know, like a little kid. One more time. Hold me. Or as the really little ones say, hold you. But you want it repeated. Oh, my goodness. And he comes, and sometimes it's in power, sometimes it's just in peace, sometimes in all sorts of different ways. But it's as the Holy Spirit wishes in the Spirit and what's going on. And I believe that's one of the reasons that it's described. He wasn't coming in just a regular way to the temple. Okay? It wasn't just a regular Lord's Day. For whatever reason, the Holy Spirit had shown up very strongly then. Now, folks, are we inviting you to be charismatic? Yes. I mean, no, we're not. But we are inviting you to be filled with the Holy Spirit like a New Testament believer in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Not with silliness and foolishness or whatever, but I am here to tell you that it is a different thing altogether. You will walk in a power that you've not had before. You will certainly walk in feelings that you... And it's, I don't know, the baptism in the Holy Spirit makes you start feeling things a whole lot different. You do. You're much more sensitive to things in the Spirit almost immediately. I mean, you get, wow, some of the things that happen. And in the Spirit is often with the Holy Spirit, and you can sense an extra weight of the Holy Spirit upon you at that time. Ms. Davis? Nothing? Okay. All right. Anyone else on this? Is this scaring everybody pretty good? Nobody's going to move, yeah. Yes?
Just that the Holy Spirit led him to go that day.
The Holy Spirit what?
Led him to go to the, where was he going? The temple. And because the Holy Spirit had promised that he wasn't going to die until, and so it was the leading of the Holy Spirit to bring him that day. And to reveal Jesus as this is the one.
Yeah. It had to be that day. Because that was the day that they were going.
There could have been other times in there that he could have been circumcised, but that's not, it was that time, that very day, yes. It's supposed to be on the eighth day, but if I remember correctly. But it you're right, the Holy Spirit led. He didn't have to go to the temple every day, but boy, then he was led. All right. Turn to, and you don't have anything? You're looking like you wanted to say something. What? Luke chapter 3. While Mrs. Davis is deciding that she's going to say something. Luke chapter 3. Here we see Jesus being baptized in water, but then. 22. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven. You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Here we have Luke writing this, but we don't know who necessarily the witness was that told him about this. It may have been John. It may have been that Peter and John told Luke, Mark told Luke, but somebody witnessed this specifically, that he looked up and saw the Holy Spirit descending in bodily form. I mean, this is amazing. He could see the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit literally descending like a dove. And we have these cute little dove things and see the little drawings and yet that's exactly the way it was. It was not just nice imagery, it was a fact. Now, we are going to get to, I don't know if we're going to get to it. No, we won't get to it now, but we will eventually. That the, remember, folks, the dove was the bird that eventually came back to Noah and is kind of worldwide. Okay, well, the dove, remember, people will say, oh, well, they held out the olive branch. Why would they hold out the olive branch? What's it for? What does it symbolize? Peace. Peace. One of the things about the Holy Spirit is going to be peace. We're going to get into that a little bit later on. But it's amazing, the connections of all of this. And so please keep that in mind. There was a reason that it came in the form of a dove. Now I have to tell you, Texas doves are not quite that peaceful. But there are some of them that are. There are some that we used to see these around here. And when we lived on the other side of Austin, we would see these often. They're called Inca doves. And, you've got the white wings around here. The Inca dove is about half that size. I mean, the white wings, big old guy. And the Inca dove is this little squatty thing. And you would see them. They would fly in this flock. And they would land out in the trees. And you would see them just dropping to the ground. And we had the seed out there, and it was so funny. You would see this group of doves coming in. It's a cold day. And they would all come in and get closer and closer and closer, and pretty soon they're all waddling in, literally shoulder to shoulder, trying to stay warm. And then they get to the seed, and their heads are just this line of them. They are peaceful. I don't know if it was Inca doves that came back to talk to Noah, but it certainly wasn't white wings, because they don't do that. They don't get along very well. But doves are considered a very peaceful bird. Doves do an interesting thing, too. Doves feed their babies milk. In the crop, they actually form out of the food that they've eaten. It grinds up and makes a milk-like substance that they give their babies. Most people don't know that. It's kind of weird for a bird, but they produce milk. Probably not mammalian milk, but still considered a milk-like product, which I find very fascinating, again, along with peace and just the things that milk and the word represent. Ms. Davis, anything on any of that look like you?
The death itself, it's symbolizing his death, identifying with,
not himself, right. With Father.
And it just the Lord brought to mind, but it's the Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Mm-hmm. And that's what was happening there, him bearing witness, the voice came out of heaven, but the voice was bearing witness that he was a child of God, the same Spirit dwells in us, the same work of the Spirit in us is to do. That very says, for you've not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And that just came to mind immediately reading that the Father was saying, you are my child. And the same Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are His children.
Yes, absolutely. Please hear that. It's the same Spirit. Now, that's why people are afraid of it. I don't know. It's the same Holy Spirit.
The same Holy Spirit. There is an inert gas called argon. And argon, being inert, doesn't combine with anything else. And because of the chemical laws that are over gases when a gas is released into a closed environment, the gas immediately begins to distribute itself, and the molecules of that gas become all equidistant from all the other molecules. And the Earth and its atmosphere is a closed, for the most part, system. And every time you breathe in literally millions of argon atoms. And the cool thing about that is that since the time of Christ, those argon atoms have spread all through the earth, and you literally are, every time you breathe, the pneuma goes in and out, you literally are breathing atoms that touched your Lord Jesus physically, that were in his lungs. Now, that has always brought tears to my eyes. But the real pneuma that Mrs. Davis is talking about there, that the very Spirit of the living God that lived in Jesus Christ is living in you. And the baptism in the Holy Spirit is another thing that I want everything I can get out of you. Please, I want you. And to think of that's the Spirit that lived. Oh, my. Ms. Davis?
And that heirs and that children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Anyway, it is all the same.
We are his children and therefore connected by the same Spirit. Anyone else on this before we go on? Yes, ma'am.
I just thought it was interesting. It says, it came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened.
That what now?
It came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And you had said, there's not really anywhere where it says how you receive the Holy Spirit, except for prayer, probably. And it was neat.
Yes.
And he was praying.
Yeah, that's correct.
It would have been. I believe he was filled with the Word, but then it was through prayer, receiving the Holy Spirit. Yes, good. Anyone else? Johnny?
When it says in a bodily form like a dove, would they have actually seen a dove? Or
you know, until this time through in my study, I'd always gone, but that's what it says. I had to stop this time to go, okay, that's what it says.
And it's, I think what it doesn't say flying like a dove, floating down like a dove. And if you notice, doves don't float down very much. I mean, they go, I'm getting there. And they're some of the fastest birds around. You never see a mourning dove get hit by a car. It's very, very rare. They will be in front, two of them, sitting on the, you'll see it. You're coming at that 70 miles an hour, and you're going, those things are going to be, pew. I mean, they are fast. It's not like, okay, this thing is. I believe, for whatever reason, that what they saw, it looked like a dove in bodily form. Because that's what it says, in bodily form as a dove. That the form that they saw was actually that of a dove is the only thing that I can go, yeah. Which is, again, what are we talking about? Covenant talk. Peace talk, all the things that the Holy Spirit brings. In fact, let's hang on a second here. Look at, we're really jumping way ahead, but I want you to at least see these verses. Go to John, please. And then we'll go back to where we were. But John chapter 14, and I just want you to see these. We're not going to talk about them. Yeah, right. Verse 26, the helper of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you. Okay, that's nice. But we look in verse 24, And he's finishing up this one section. You go to verse 25, and he says, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you. Peace." Did you just catch it? Peace. What's he talking about? The Holy Spirit. Peace I leave with you. What he's saying is, I'm going away, but the Father's going to send the Holy Spirit. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. John chapter 20, please go there. And we will look at these again a different time. Notice how I didn't talk about that. Huh? Chapter 20, verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he pneumed on them. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Do you catch it again? Peace. Whew. Receive the Holy Spirit. It just gets better. That's all it's going to do. Back up to Luke. I told you we weren't going to talk about it. We were looking at Luke 3. But anyway, Johnny, in answer to your question, yeah, I think it was. Anyone else on what we've been talking about? Sir?
Just throwing this out there. I'm not sure what it means, but you see in the law, a lot of the times the Lord would have them sacrifice turtle doves.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure what the connection is there. But
I don't know either, but I would think with the pictures that we're seeing here that would probably be true. And you wonder if it wasn't, I would have to look and see if it was a peace offering. And often it would be for the poor. Was it a peace offering? Every time? Well, Joe? Good man.
Okay, I tell you what. Miss Davis, do you have anything to bring up? Nope. Okay. Does anyone else have anything they want to bring up on what we've talked about tonight? Yes, ma'am.
Just you mentioned a little bit about quenching the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And I was wondering, is it with the Holy Spirit kind of how we think of once saved, always saved, where it's like, okay, you're saved, therefore that just goes on forever. But with the Holy Spirit, it's like once saved, always saved is not true necessarily, and it's like. We look at the Holy Spirit that way, in a sense. It's like, okay, I have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and now he's just... Can you explain a little bit more about the Holy Spirit?
No. You're on your own. Again, we're going through Scripture, so we'll get to it, but let's go ahead and talk about it. Because it's very important, and we'll probably only talk about it very little this evening because there's so much to speak on it. It's not like once saved, always saved, which is, of course, not. When you are in the covenant with God, the very covenant is his life within you. Now, the fact is that the Holy Spirit may stay there, but quenching is stopping his power and stopping his movement. That's quenching. Perfect example that I gave a while ago. One of the things that quenches the Holy Spirit is anger. Anger quenches the Holy Spirit. Why? It's the opposite of his nature, which was, I think we just talked about something about peace. Well, at least I did. Maybe y'all weren't there. Do you understand? I mean, it's the opposite of his nature. You are going, it's the opposite of his nature. It's the opposite of the law. And we are acting in our own flesh. Trust me, we're acting in our own flesh. When you act, you act in your own flesh, what are you doing? You're quenching the Spirit. Why? You're walking in the flesh. And God goes, fine, you want to walk in the flesh? We'll go walk in the flesh. And the Holy Spirit is still there, but it's like this. The only time I know I have seen an angel, different things that were being said, he would stop. He would just stand there with his arms crossed. When right things were being said, you couldn't see him very well or anything like that. But I thought, what in the world was that? And it's almost in bodily form of what the Holy Spirit may do. When we are in anger or we're in unforgiveness, we're in the flesh, we are, whatever it is we're doing, the Holy Spirit will not, unbelief, by whom did Jesus, what power? Jesus didn't heal people. Jesus Christ did not heal people in his own power. He was man. He healed people by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is interesting, as we pointed out before, he goes to Nazareth, and what happened? Because of unbelief in others, not in him. I think Jesus was doing okay in his belief. But in others, because of their unbelief, he was not able to heal. He was not able to do many miracles there because they did not believe, quenching the Spirit. This is deadly serious stuff for those that believe. Whether you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit or not, the Holy Spirit is at least involved in the life of a believer. I believe in baptism you are asking for. I really want your life. I really want your power for your name's sake, for your kingdom's sake. This is not some playtime. This is not a game. This is your life in me. And I am dying, Miss Davis brought up, to myself, and I want your power for you, not me. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit for your name's sake. But then right after that, I begin to yell and fuss at Mrs. Davis. Kick the dog or whatever. You can sense it. You ever notice how you can sense it? You've been walking fine. And then all of a sudden, here's the... Has the Holy Spirit gone away? No, you can't scare the Holy Spirit off. Some of the... Quiet now, everyone quiet, please. The Holy Spirit is moving. And then someone sneezes. Oh! We've seen it. We really have seen it. Oh, the Spirit has been quenched. By a sneeze? This is God. Are you nuts? Somebody needs to stand up and ask some of these preachers this. But anyway, a sneeze is not unbelief. I mean, maybe. But the Holy Spirit is still there, but we quench him by our unbelief, getting into the flesh, all those things. So it's a little bit different than, I kick Jesus out of the house is a little bit different than, because a believer is wanting the Holy Spirit in their life. Does that make sense to you? Ms. Davis?
Like where Israel was told to go up and fight, God was going to be with them, but whenever they disobeyed, it didn't go. And then, well, we'll go up, and God said, yeah, I'm going with you. And the Spirit will not endorse what we do. Mm-hmm. And those verses about quenching the Spirit, it's interesting. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, live in peace with one another, and we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all men, See that no one repays another with evil for evil, for always seek after that which is good for one another and for all men. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks to God. Give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's all peace, 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 peace with people, peace, you know, and then God says, I'll sanctify you entirely, but it's, you know, it's all connected.
Yeah, amen. Now, folks,
let me explain something. We are not here to try. What this started out as is simply we're going to do a talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit so people can kind of be calm with that. And then I suddenly realized, wait a second, you know, and in fact, the Lord said, no, we want you to go look. We are not attempting in any way to do an exhaustive study on the Holy Spirit because that's called life. Okay? But there's many things, like Mrs. Davis is reading. Wait a second, look at all this stuff is piled in here about peace. Peace, there's something huge in that as regards to the Holy Spirit. And I am here to tell you something. Every one of you, look at me, look up here and listen right now. Shut up your doubting, fearful brains and all that other stuff. Sorry, Mrs. Davis. Mrs. Davis wouldn't have said shut up. She, being the nice person, you would have just said, you tell them to say shut up. Okay, so I will tell you. You say shut up. You need the Holy Spirit. I am serious now. You need the Holy Spirit. You don't need the foolishness that goes along with some of the people that claim they believe in the Holy Spirit. You don't need all the emotionalism with it. That's not what we're talking about. You need the Spirit of God. You do. You do not see the disciples going out to do the stuff in the book of Acts and go, well, let's just go out. They went out in the power of the Holy Spirit and wouldn't have done it any other way. And you need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not telling you need to speak in tongues. The Bible doesn't tell you you need to speak in tongues. It's only a few people do. But you need the Holy Spirit, period. So again, we're not trying to make, this is not an exhaustive study in this, but we do want you to be exposed to a lot of the different verses that get brought up, that you're reading and you're going, what in the world was that about? We at least want to kind of help you understand some things about it.